Well, good evening, class. We're so glad that we are here on Friday night. We're going to go back to the book of Joshua tonight. We talked about 3 weeks ago from verse, we're going to chapter 1, and we basically are doing this whole series on the five dangers of transition, the five dangers of aging, the five dangers of trying something new, the five dangers of starting over. It's so generic, you can add what you need to, because all five elements that we're going to deal with these next few months, you're going to face them, okay? Now, understand, listen to what I'm about to say. This year is the year of possession, okay? I'm hoping that you're receiving that with me tonight, and that's what you're claiming for your year. This is what the Lord challenged me in December, that this would be our year of possession, okay? What do you want to possess? We talked about last week. What do you want to possess spiritually? What do you want to possess physically? What do you want to possess mentally? What do you want to possess financially? What do you want to possess? What is it that you want in your hands? And you know, I've got this. This is mine. It's in my possession. This is the year of possession for us. And we're preaching it from right here in Joshua 1. Now, we haven't got quite there yet because we've had to lay this foundation. I was privileged to speak at Melvin's prayer group, breakfast group. Anytime you want to ask me back, Melvin, if I get an ask back, that's the greatest compliment can be paid, is to be asked to come back, is what I was told when I evangelized for all those years. So, I was privileged to be able to start this, preaching and teaching this at Melvin's group, and we're so honored to do this. We have built more and more on this. Every one of us need to hear this tonight. I'll turn 64 a week from this Monday. I want to hear about, okay, I don't know if I'm getting older, I'm getting better. Hopefully I'm getting smarter. Hopefully there's more wisdom coming, more understanding coming, my greater days are ahead of me. And I'm believing that. I'm believing that for me and Miss Paula, that our journey's just started. Larry, we're going to just, what was the word I wanted to use here? We want to morph into something brand new, you know? Kids would know what the word morph is. You know, it's not morphine. You want to morph into something new, something greater, okay? A meta, okay, I'm going to help you with some of you that don't understand what that means. You know what meta, M-E-T-A, metamorphosis. Now, you learned that probably in the sixth grade concerning the caterpillar and the seven stages of metamorphosis. It's pretty amazing. So we're believing that we're going to morph into something as we get older, we're going to get younger in our mind and our thoughts. So we're talking about transitioning and moving forward and aging. And so we dealt the first night on the danger of looking back. I don't know how many people I'm talking to now that this is totally in their life. Just this week in visiting someone, the danger of looking back. I was praying over this today. Wouldn't it be ironic if the mirror is what we had to drive by and the windshield was behind us, they were reversed? That'd be pretty tough, Gary. You know, all you got's this little view right here. That's all you can see. Okay? I told you to fasten your seatbelt, okay? This is all I see. This is all the view I have versus this large windshield that's in front of us. How big is your view tonight? How big is, thank you, Holy Spirit, how big is your vision tonight? What do you envision? What do you see happening? So, we dealt with the danger of looking back. Last week, we started with the second one, the danger of sitting still, okay? And read this. Medically, when I Googled this about 5 weeks ago in my studying, my preparation time, When I Google that, I'm just anticipating that I'm talking about biblical things happens when you sit still. There wasn't one biblical thing that happened. It was all physical, the danger of sitting still. They went through the process. What happens to you physically? What begins to shut down? What the circulation, blood circulation, heart. I mean, all the things that happens when we just sit down. Now, understand tonight that when we was doing trips at Antioch and we'd rent those big, whatever, $6,000-$7,000 buses and we'd take people. I remember Jeff Utter telling me, he said, man, one thing about it, you guys go first class. And I remember Leon Parker. Wow, Jerry Corbin, man. I remember sitting at the Chateau and they pulled out a penny. I think it was a penny. It was the first time I'd ever heard about a Mexican train. Was it Mexican train? It was Domino's.
Domino's.
Is that what it, yeah. And what was it called?
Mexican.
So Paula goes and buy one and you hit the thing and it goes choo-choo or something. I learned that from Leon. And I remember Leon telling me, he said, Robert, when you're going to make a deposit at the bank, don't go through the drive-thru. Go and walk into that bank and let that banker see you. I never forgot that. Jerry Corbin pulled out a gold coin out of his pocket, which is Bill Kirkpatrick's dad-in-law. And he pulled out a coin out of his pocket. And he told me about that, what that related to. Those guys, giants, Leon, oh my goodness, I love Leon. The most dapper guy you could ever watch dress. Love Leon Parker. I was so privileged to have Janice on one of our trips to Israel. Oh, yes. Just amazing. See, this is what happens, but we can't live on the memories of the past. So we talked about sitting still and we were doing the trips. And I remember Willie Williams telling me when he was a host, a couple of them, he said, Robert, you got the youngest bunch of old people I've ever been around in my life. Hello? Now, all of you should have got excited about that moment just then. Yeah. The youngest bunch of old people I've ever seen in my life. And I still believe that. So I have to tell you tonight, when I'm talking about sitting still, I know very few of you don't do that, okay? I understand that. You're busy and you retire and you refire and you get another job and you start doing things and you're going all over the world. Mark and Darlene just got back from Panama. Biff's wife's over in Raleigh, North Carolina. Karen just talked about me. She's flying to, she's wanting to go to Paris this year. We just talked about going to Egypt. And I mean, the list goes on and on and on. That's the way it should be, okay? So when I talk about sitting still, I'm talking about when God gives us a command, what are you going to do about it? So three questions. Remember last week I asked you to ask yourself, does anybody know what those three questions was? I asked you to ask three questions, okay? Number one, what has God spoke to you about lately? What has God spoke to you about? Not just the Bible, not through His Word, but what in your prayer time, what has He impressed to you in your prayer time, okay? And then secondly, I said the question is, what was it about? Was it an assignment? Okay? Was it an assignment? What did God tell you? Third thing was, what did you do about it? What did you do about it? What did you do about it? That's what we're talking about. The sitting still part when there's a commandment that's came to us. And the blessing we miss if we don't move by faith on what God tells us to do, okay? I cannot tell you it's important. I can tell you tonight it's imperative that we hear and we do at the same time. If you're hearing and not doing, you're what the person in James talks about, okay? So we got to learn to hear and do. So we're going to read this tonight. So we found out in verse number 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. I'm preaching this weekend at Pastor Tom's. Moses, my servant, is dead, okay? Here's what we're going to talk about tonight in this very next three words. Now, everybody say now. Now, therefore, arise. Arise. Okay? Arise. Arise. Everybody say that with me. Arise. Okay? Can somebody help me tonight? And I'm laying the foundation on this part. Can somebody just tell me, what do you think? I'm going to read a definition, but what do you think a definition for arise means? Somebody help me here. Get up. Get up. Get up. Anybody else?
Start moving.
Start moving. Okay? Okay? I got a bunch. Okay. You ready for some? Mm-hmm. King James Dictionary breaks down in the Hebrew and the Greek, pulled it all together. They've got verses what the word arise. It's mentioned 259 times in the Bible. I just figure if something's mentioned 259 times in the Bible, I've got to read about it. I've got to hear what it says. Now, I got a chapter tonight going to blow your mind. I'm telling you, you're going to go home this upcoming week and you're going to print it off and you're going to read it all this week and you're going to get as happy as I did when I printed it off today. So listen to what the word arise. Are y'all ready? It's going to be a lot of them. So just, hey, we're here and we're fine tonight, okay? And so we're just laying a better foundation about possessing and how do we possess. See, you can't possess if you don't get up. Told you, fasten your seatbelt. Well, I want my manna flew into my tent. I don't want to have to get up and go out and get my manna. Hello? God didn't put it in the tent. What did they have to do? Get out and gather it. Arise. Okay. I heard somebody, Miss Paula, you said something? Okay. There's no Grubhub. Okay. You're right. Yeah, and Bill, there was no Uber back then either. I mean, just, no. So, I guess everybody knows what Grubhub is. You know what Grubhub is. Everybody knows what Grubhub is.
No.
Okay. How many uses Grubhub? That's what I thought. You want to rise, okay? You want to rise. Okay, here we go. Okay, you ready? The word arise means to ascend, go up, to mount up, to move to a higher place.
I like that one.
I love this one. You ready for this one? To arise from humid places. That would mean get up and leave the South, okay? To emerge from below. To go toward the horizon, the sun, the star arises, to get out of bed, to leave the place of the state of rest, or to leave a sitting or lying posture. Okay? Daniel 6 says the king arose early and went to the den where Daniel was. To begin. To spring up, okay? To spring up. What is happening a week from this weekend? What's happening? What is happening that I love so very much? Oh, hallelujah. I don't like nothing falling back in my life, especially time, okay? I love the spring. Anybody else love the springing forward? Y'all like the spring, the time that we got longer days? Don't you love the longer days? Man, what am I going to do to get y'all excited about this tonight? My goodness. If you don't like the longer days, go to Russia where it's, dark 24 hours a day or whatever, wherever it is in the world, Alaska, I don't know, North Pole, okay? To revive from death. To leave the grave. Figuratively, to awake from the state of sin and stupidity, to repent.
Arise
from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Ephesians 5. Begin to act, to exert power, to move from the state of inaction. To appear or become sensible or operative. You shall the Son of Righteousness arise, Matthew 4, to put in motion. I won't say the next one, it means to swell. To be agitated, I love that one. To be excited, to be provoked, to emerge from poverty and depression and distress, to invade or assault. He who arose, I caught him, the Bible said, I caught him by the beard. In other words, his major action took place and I caught him by his beard. Catch, carpe diem. Carpe diem, seize the day. See, everybody get those? If you didn't, I'm going to put them right here and you can just write, take it home with you or write it off. To arise. You get the idea tonight about what it means to arise, okay? To arise. Here we go. The Bible told God to, and I'd never seen this. I'd never seen this until today. The Bible said to Joshua, he had to tell him, now. It's attached to the first part of that. My servant is dead now because of what's happened. Now he's dead, but now therefore arise. I want to throw a curve in the message tonight, and I want you to help me as a congregation. What would have been some of the reasons that Joshua would not have wanted to do this? Doubt. Thank you, Melvin.
Fear.
Thank you. We're going to talk about that one in the next few weeks. Because three times in this chapter, God had to tell Joshua. Now, Joshua, you be encouraged. Joshua, you take courage. Thank you. Whoever said fierce. What else?
Mourning Moses.
Yes. Thank you. Mourning Moses. My time gets away from me. I told you about the Jewish burial, a funeral that I went to, and how they mourn for the dead for 7 days. They can't they cover up the mirrors. They can't put fragrances on. They can't do any other activities unless it's to go to the synagogue. They can't wear leather shoes. There's a myriad of things they cannot do because they're in total grief. In the Old Testament, thank you, Charlene, in the Old Testament, they had just finished, are you ready for this? They just either finished 30 or 40 days of mourning for Moses. I'm going to give you some more tonight. I'm talking about why won't we get up? Why won't we move forward? Why won't we arise? Why won't we ascend? Why won't we exert power? Why don't we get out of the bed? Why don't we rise from the grave? Why don't we resurrect? Why don't we? What hinders us? Anybody else? We're open tonight. Anybody else want to say something? What do you think? What would have been a why that Joshua would not have done this? That is it. Thank you. Come to the front of the class.
It was a new position, a new season, and he had never been there before.
I love this. Melvin, I had never seen this in my prayer time this morning. God began to deal with me. He said, Robert, you can't move past the reason on the natural side why Joshua would not have wanted done this. And you're so right, Esther. I can't live up to the man called Moses. I didn't see a burning bush. I wasn't the one born in Pharaoh's kingdom. I wasn't the one resurrected or drawn out, which means Moses means drawn. I wasn't the one saved out of a floating bassinet. I did not see God face to face. I was not bathed in His glory. I didn't see God write the Ten Commandments. I cannot be this man called Moses. One of the biggest things that we encounter if we're not careful, the peer pressure that we can't be as good or as successful as the person next door to us.
Yeah.
Or someone that goes, I had a friend of mine tell me, his wife told me They go to an exclusive place and they drive over to an exclusive place to have dinner a good ways off. And there are certain, he is so intimidated to do this. He said, I don't want to go over there and see all those old people eating at that restaurant. And he's the same age as they are. I'm not going to cut any corners tonight. There are things that we may be not dealing with what our millennials are dealing with, but you are, I'm going to say this tonight, and don't go off and start another church on, you are a generation that your church was hijacked from you. And I'm going to say this politely tonight. They don't sing the music that you was raised with. They don't dress like you used to dress when you went to church. Hello? I'm not being mean tonight, okay? I mean, I've wore a tie all my life, and I don't wear a tie when I go to the church, but I wear a sports coat, and Biff knows that. I will probably always wear, it's just who I am. But I'm not going to fall out with a guy that's up there preaching in jeans, you know? I'm just not going to do it. But you know what? That's what I don't feel comfortable in. I'm fine when I'm going to Melvin's, and I'm not ridiculing, okay? I'm definitely not going to do that. I'm just saying, your generation, they took away your Sunday school, okay? Listen, I was part of that. I was part of the one of doing that. Oh, yeah. And I hear this when I just bumped into a woman the other day and said, don't you like the old hymns? And some of them I did. I love Amazing Grace. But I don't know about, you know, waving the flag, you know, holding the fort till Jesus comes. I ain't holding no fort. I'm kicking the doors down and we're going to go get somebody before this night's over. I ain't holding no fort down. We got to get out of the trenches and we're going to win some wars. Okay? But if we're not careful, because we feel like we've been hijacked, we paid the money, we helped do the bond raising, we helped dig the footings, we helped do this and do that. If you're not careful, you will let that stop you from worshiping God. Surely there's a church you feel comfortable in. And go there and listen to the word, because maybe, let me tell you what God's going to do. I'm going to help you with something right now. God's going to always honor His word. If a rooster crows His word, God's got to honor it. Well, He did in Peter's day. Three times. Okay? Because God's going to honor His word because it's His word. Okay? So whatever. And so I begin to play this in my mind. Esther, thank you. Melvin, thank you. Charlene, thank you. Paula and others. There were so many reasons that this is going over in Joshua's mind. Can I help you with another one? How many people do you think actually went into the promised land? Yes, of the original. But there was more. So we're talking about maybe 600,000, maybe a million. I don't know how many it was. Do you think in his mind, oh boy, I cannot pastor this church. I knew who their mom and dad was, and they were the biggest troublemakers that Moses ever dealt with. I cannot pastor their kids. Are you listening to me tonight? If we're not careful, we will justify the reasons why we will not arise and get up. And one of those is this. Well, you know what? I was part of that church. I was there. Man, I mean, I did this. I prayed it down. I stayed with them. Let this younger generation. And if you do that, you've missed the boat. Because if anybody needs God and needs your wisdom, it is this younger generation.
That's right.
Amen? My kids need me. My son texts me today. And we text back and forth. I text my daughter this morning and I said, I love you. We love you, Mom, we love you. You're special. I mean, you're special. I'm praying you have an awesome Friday and an incredible weekend. Encouraging my daughter. She gave a powerful testimony last Sunday, Biff. I didn't know the things that she was struggling with when she was coming up. I didn't know that. You know, kids don't tell us sometimes, okay? But you cannot let in your mind, as you get older and the church gets younger, because somewhere down the road, you got to go to church. You got to have church. You got to go to the Word, guys.
Yeah.
So it may not be exactly what you want, but But let me tell you, God can make up the difference in your own personal prayer time and word time. So, you know, we need to just be careful here. God is still God, and His Word is still the Word. What keeps us, okay? Here's another one. I talked to Paula about this one, and I can't get ahead of myself too much, because we're going to deal with this one later. And then he said, not only do you arise, but I want you to go over this Jordan, okay? And all I'm going to say about this, how many went with us to Israel? How many got baptized in the River Jordan with us? Was that amazing? That was a moment. Yes. That was a moment. I'm ready to do that again. That was a moment. Jordan was always a river of separation. It separated what? Israel from the surrounding areas, okay? Whatever it was, Palestine or, yeah, whatever it was. It was a dividing place. All through the scriptures, you read about the River Jordan, the swelling of the River Jordan. It was a separation place. It wasn't big, metaphorically, it meant separation, something separating you. And I told Paul that. I said, whatever is separating us from getting our promised land is actually closer to the promised land than we are. What is keeping us from having the most awesome, incredible life? Guys, listen to me. You want to have some days on earth. Me and Paul talked this about yesterday. I said, baby, are you happy? She said, well, I'm happy. I'm happy. Happy. I'm happy. I'm happy exactly where I am right now. I'm happy with who I am. I'm happy to be standing on Friday night preaching to you. I'm happy about going down. Is that what I holler up to you today when you're in your studio? We're going on a preaching engagement this weekend. Well, I've done that all my life since I was 16 years old. It doesn't come to you, but it never gets old and tired, Charlene, when I know that I'm going with a word for that church, because it's what God's put in my spirit. It's what I'm preaching here. And I've shared it with Pastor Tom, and he said, man, it is exactly, we're doing the year of possessing up here. And I don't know, I think he's doing the year of taking or the year of receiving. I said, boy, I hope he said, oh, it's going to go hand in hand. What's the reason you're not getting it? What's the reason that's keeping you from that promised land? What? Arise. Arise. Get up. Get up. Get up. Paula, can you find me real quick the story of the four lepers? Okay. Over there in 2 Kings. If you can find that, I'm going to get Donna. Throw that up on the scripture. I got 16 more minutes here. I want to talk to you tonight about four guys that are in the Bible. Okay. Four guys that was in the Bible, and they all had the same problem. Okay. 2 Kings chapter 7. And get down to the part, it's going to be in the very beginning of it. You know this story. You've heard it. And I told you we were going to talk about it tonight. We're not going to cover it all. But I want to tell you, I want to talk about these guys. We have to skip way down. I want to preach this. Don, go back up. Go back up. Okay, I'm going to slow down. I want to take my time here, okay? Okay. I preached this how many times? Then Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. Wait a minute. No, I'm dealing with verse number one now. Tomorrow, about this time, look what happened. Tomorrow, I preached on 24 hours away from your miracle. I preached this at Kemp Holder's church. Josh Mayo came to me and said, Robert, when you went away from here, man, you prayed for us in the altar, and we've been trying to have babies, or we got in the altar time that night. He met me months later, whatever. He said, you know what? My wife went to her doctor's appointment the next day and found out we were going to have a child. Could it be tonight that you're 24 hours away? I mean, me and Miss Paula, we may be someone that's looked at this house yet. We had two people. All this time, nobody's come, no calls. Yesterday, two people came and looked at this house, okay? Could it be that we're 24 hours away from miracle, debt freeness? I don't know. What are you 24 hours away? Miracle taking place, phone call coming, letter coming in the mail, 24 hours. And that's what happened. Let's go down to verse number 3, okay? Here's what we want to talk about. And now there were four leprous men. What was the issue with these men? Somebody help me here. They were somebody help me here. Miss Paul's saying, slow down. That's right. They were not only were leprous, they were dying. It's one thing to be a leper. It's another thing that you're dying. But I got great news tonight. Just because they were a leper didn't mean they were a loser. Okay? Did you hear that? Just because they were a leper didn't mean that they were going to be a loser. Okay? Just because you fail, that doesn't make you a failure. Though a righteous man, I told my barber this morning, though a righteous man falls seven times, what is he going to do? Going to get up. He's going to get back up. He may fall down seven times, 15 times, 20 times, but a righteous man, he's going to bounce right back up. That's why he gave us the analogy that the righteous shall flourish as the cedars of Lebanon and as the palm trees, and that old palm tree will be laid down flat. But when that sun comes back up, it just perks right back up. You'd never even know it's been in a storm. And that's what we as righteous people do. Sometimes we may be flattened to our face. We may be flattened with discouragement, financial despair, depression, whatever, and but when that S-O-N rises on top of us, we're just going to pop right back up and nobody even know we've been in a storm.
That's right.
Why? Because we're rising up here. We're going to get up. We're not going to give up. We're going to rise up. Just because we failed, it doesn't mean we are a failure. Just because we lost something doesn't mean that we're losers. And don't let anybody put that on you, entitle you. You're just a loser. You know, that's what they say. You're just a loser. No, there's not a loser in this house tonight. We are all winners because greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. And no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Turn around and tell somebody, you are a winner. You're a winner.
You are a winner.
Mark's looking out the window telling somebody out the window they're a winner back there. You're a winner. So we know that they are socially unaccepted. I mean, leprosy is the worst thing you could have in the Bible. They had leper colonies. If you have never seen Ben-Hur, go rent it this weekend. I mean, watch it with your wife with Charlton Heston. It is one of the most incredible movies you'll ever watch. Ben-Hur, and that's 4 hours, but it is totally amazing. And the whole deal is his mom and his sister Miriam winds up in a leper colony. My goodness, leprosy. You don't even want, it was a frightening word. It was a word that you did not want to hear. Today it would be like cancer. It would be just like when you hear the big C word. They were socially unaccepted. They were physically unaccepted. That's why the Bible said they were sitting out at the entering of the gate. They could not go in. Listen to me. They could not go in and neither could they go on. They couldn't go in, and they couldn't go on. How many times have I had to go into the room and mom and dad tell me, or a friend or a relative say, Robert, I just can't go on. I cannot go on. I can't go on. I have been and did service after service when we carried the little casket about this size to the gravesite and do the service. I remember preaching it at Amos Funeral Home and when I saw him bring that in and I preached there what David said, I cannot bring the child back to me, but I can go to where the child is. I said, there's places in life that we will not park and we're not going to park at death. David did not park. He got up and he washed himself. He got up. Did you hear what I said? He got up. He got up. And the only thing I can tell you tonight, it don't care what they said, how battered you feel, how tough it seems, the odds are against you. Just keep getting up. Just keep getting up. Just keep getting up. Just keep getting up. When they were stoning Stephen, Jesus was standing at the right hand of God. When you feel like like you're being stoned, He is standing watching over you. And when they cast those stones, Stephen looked to the portals. How did he do that? How could he see Jesus standing there? Oh my goodness. And the whole, just remember, this is a word for somebody tonight. If you ever feel like they're stoning you, He is standing for you. Get up. Rise up. Be that person that God's destined you to be. You're not a loser. You're not a failure. You're not a quitter. You're a winner. You're all things. You're going to work together for your good before this deal's over. God's going to make all things beautiful in His time. What was the deal with Joshua? Why God spoke to him and said, now. You got to go now, Joshua. You can't go a week from now. You can't go a month from now. You can't go a year from now. You got to get up right now, and you got to go get there fast. My. There is something about now. I love now, because now is not the past, and Esther, I can't do nothing about it. And now is not the future, and I cannot do nothing about it. But now is now, and I can do everything about it. So don't you get wrapped up in what hasn't happened and what's going to happen. You got to get up, wrapped up right now, this day. This is the day the Lord's made, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. This is my day. This is my hour. This is my time. I'm so happy today. I'm so excited. You got to say that Monday, and you got to say that Tuesday, and you got to say that Wednesday, and you got to say that Thursday, and you're all going to say it Friday, and you got to say that Friday, and you got to say it Sunday, you turn around, you can't say, oh my goodness, tomorrow's Monday. No, you got to get up Monday morning and you say, this is the day the Lord hath made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in. And I love who I look in that mirror right there. I like you. I like you. Have you told the mirror lately that you like who you see? Yeah. If you don't like yourself, how in the world you think we're going to like you? Yeah. When you fall in love with God, you'll fall in love with what God is doing in your life. And every time you waller down and every time you give up, we're going to go back to this one next year. Not next year. Next week, okay? Back over there. We're going to go back to that. And because they asked a classic statement. Who knows what that classic question was? Somebody, Paula, you're exempt. What did the lepers say to each other? Thank you. Thank you, Brother Claude. Yes, and everybody else that said it. Why sit we here till we die? We're going to go back that to next week, okay?
Well, they knew what would happen if they went back. They were going to die. If they went back to the city.
Well, that's what they said. Yeah, they said if we go into the city, we're going to die. If we sit here, we're going to die. Who knows if we go into the camp of the enemy. Yeah, they can only but kill us. In other words, all hope is gone with where they are. If we can stay right here and die, there's no hope here and there's no hope there. It could be that something's out there and that's the future. And when we understand that, Somebody said, Robert, why do you preach so much about the future? I want to spend the rest of my life there, my guys. That's why I talk about the future. Thank you, Esther. They had, and we're going to talk about that. Thank you. Thank you, Esther. She gets to come to the first class again. The only reason they got up, down deep, they had faith that maybe possibly something's out there waiting for us. And this is powerful. I can't go there. We're going to do this next week. Because it's amazing the word arise, okay? I got 3 minutes, and I'm gonna read a chapter to you, okay? Y'all ready? You're going to love this one. You're going to love this one. Don, you can go to Isaiah 60 if you want to. Okay, let me help you with Isaiah real quick. I got 3.5 minutes, okay? Let me tell you about the Bible. Bible, 1,189 chapters, 30,000 verses, okay? Isaiah is a miniature Bible. In the Bible itself, 37 of the first books are law and judgment. 29 are grace, the New Testament. In Isaiah, there's 66 books, 66 chapters. There's 66 chapters in Isaiah, okay? The first 29 are judgment. The first 37, the next 29 are grace. It's literally a little Bible within itself. And it picks up. I challenge you to read and say that. Isaiah is totally amazing. Isaiah chapter 60. And get ready now. I don't know. I'm going to change versions tonight. I know you don't think I'm going to do this, okay? I'm going to read the ESV tonight. You can go by this one, okay? Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness on the people. But the Lord will rise upon you, and His glory will be seen upon you, and nations shall come to your light, and kings to the righteousness or the brightness of your rising. This is a future glory of Israel. Prophetic word here in Isaiah 60. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar. Your daughters shall be carried on the hip. Then you shall see and be radiant, and your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. The multitudes of camels, and this is metaphorically speaking, the multitudes of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, and those from Sheba shall come. Queen of Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. They shall come up with acceptance on my altar. I will beautify my beautiful house. It all starts with verse number 1, arise. Who are these that fly like a cloud and like doves to the windows? From the coastland shall they hope for me. The ships of Tarshish first, the bring you your children from afar, their silver and gold with them. For the name of the Lord your God and for the Holy One of Israel, because He hath made you beautiful. Foreigners shall build up walls, and their kings shall minister you. For in my wrath I struck you, but in my favor I have mercy on you. Your gates shall be opened continually day and night. They shall not be shut, that people may bring you the wealth of the nations with their kings, led in possession. For the nation and the kingdom that will not serve you shall perish. Those nations shall be utterly laid waste. The glory of Lebanon shall come to you, the cypress, the plane, the pine, to beautify the place of my sanctuary. I will make the place of my feet glorious. The sons of those who afflicted you shall come bending low. All those afflicted you, they shall come in humility, bending low to you. And who despise you shall bow down at your feet. And they shall call you the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas you have been forsaken and hated with no one passing through, I will make you majestic forever. a joy from age to age. Here you shall suck the milk of nations. You shall nurse at the breast of kings. You shall know that I, the Lord, am a savior to your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Instead of bronze, I'm going to bring you gold. You women should have loved that one. Instead of iron, I will bring you silver. Instead of wood, iron, I will make your overseers of peace, your taskmasters righteousness. Violence shall no more be heard in your land, devastation or destruction within your borders. You shall call your borders salvation and your gates praise. That, my friend, is one powerful chapter. And this is the restoration and the glory of Israel that's going to come in the future. But I take it to me myself, and I read these verses, and I find out, Lord, what does this verse appeal to me? What is this verse about me? But it all started with the one word, arise. Arise. Turn around in closing tonight and tell someone beside you, Mark, look out the window again if you want to, and say, why don't you get up and do something big this week?